Good morning. We are at the last in a series, a short series that we've had on the prayer, subject of prayer, and we took the letters ACTS, Acts. And A stands for adoration, and we had a message on that. C stands for confession. We've had a message on that. ACT, we'll have a message on T, which stands for Thanksgiving this morning, and S, supplication, the four things. Now, I don't know why they didn't put those in order. I have no idea, but it's ACTS, and we're on the T today, which is called Thanksgiving. Put my Bible here. In giving of thanks to God, we acknowledge Him as the source of all blessings. And for our text this morning, we have selected a verse from 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And our text verse says this: "In everything give thanks to God, for this is the will of God concerning you." In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. Now, I don't know about you, but many times I have, over the course of my life, have struggled just to know what the will of God is for my life. And I'm sure we've all had these experiences where we're faced with difficult situations or big situations, and we just wonder what God's will is for our lives. And we're even familiar with a lot of people who do foolish and stupid things, and somehow they say God told them to do it. And so the will of God can at times be very mystical and very unsure. And sometimes we just have to move out in faith and trust that God will bless us. I'm thinking of when we're young and we're trying to decide where to go to college or who our life partner will be or what job we should work in. And all these things come into play. And as a Christian, sometimes we wonder, well, just what is God's will concerning these situations? But here, there's no doubt as to what God's will is. In everything, says the Apostle Paul, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. And so when we give thanks to God and to one another, we are fulfilling and living in the Word of God. Now, thanksgiving to God is so vital. And one of the things that we notice if we turn to the book of Romans, chapter 1, we look at that passage and we see the decline of the human race. It says, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, and neither were they thankful. And then we list all of the sins and the problems and the difficulties and the futile thinking of mankind. Much of what we see in our world today, the whole world and world system seems to be coming apart. And it all starts with neither were thankful. When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful. And so thanksgiving and the lack of thanksgiving in our life is a sure sign of a spiritual decline and a movement away from God. And we just need to read that chapter in Romans to see. It's almost like, to me, it's almost like a current event of things that are happening in our world today. We see all sorts of evil. We see all sorts of debauchery. We see all sorts of terrible things that we see in our country today. And to me, that's a current event of the events that are happening around us today. And it all begins because we refuse to be thankful. Neither were thankful. And God says, the people became vain in their imaginations. Now, I believe everything in the Bible says is true, but somehow this passage is it just seems more true than it is. It just seems more true, and how we look around and we see the vainness and the departure from God and His Word, and we see the decline of mankind, which is all around us today. And so the very first ingredient of the decline and movement away from God is a life that is lived with unthankfulness. The Bible says that God looks on the heart. And we read in the Old Testament about Samuel. You remember Samuel, and he was anointing the king, and he come to Jesse's sons, and the first one that came in, he was handsome and good-looking, and Samuel said, surely this is the one. And God said, no, I haven't chosen that one. And he went on through Jesse's seven sons. And then it makes this statement. I haven't chosen them, says the Lord to Samuel, but God looks, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And so David was chosen, the son that wasn't even present at the time. They had to send for him in the field, and when he came in, the Lord said to Samuel, this is the one I've chosen. And David became a man after God's own heart. Now, when we look at the life of David, we just have questions. How could he ever be a man after God's heart? How could that be? Why is that? We look at David's life, and he certainly was a terrible father. His own sons killed one another, and his own son sought to overthrow him and kill David and his father and assume the throne. David was an adulterer. He was a murderer. He was a terrible person in a lot of ways. And yet the Bible records that David was a man after God's own heart. Why do you suppose that is? When we look at the book of Psalms, and we find that David involved God in every aspect of his life. And David was a man that prayed. And David was a man that was thankful and grateful to God. And the Psalms are filled, 150 Psalms, most of which David wrote. And they're filled with praise and glory and honor to God. And so David had a thankful and a gracious heart. And for that, God called him a man after my own heart. Isn't that encouraging to us? We can be people after God's own heart if we remember to thank him and praise him and glorify him for what he has did. For this is the will, says our text. This is God's will concerning you. Although a thanksgiving is something that God desires in all of us, yet the possession of a thankful heart produces qualities in our own life that can be obtained in no other way. And we think of what of a benefit to God when we pour out our hearts in worship and adoration to Him. But the benefits to us are innumerable. Innumerable. And I've listed a few of these ways in which a thankful heart and a gracious spirit a gracious spirit benefits us as well as brings honor and glory to the Lord. And I have about 10 of them here, and there's a lot more. You might come up with many more than I've come up with, but I'm just thinking on these 10, and the more I think about it, I could have probably added to the list. But these are the 10 benefits that we have by having a thankful and a gracious spirit. Number one, a thankful person is a humble person. A person that realizes that all his blessings come from God and not his own efforts. It is impossible to be thankful for your blessings and at the same time to be boastful of your achievements. Impossibility. 1 Corinthians 4:7 says this: what do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? And so when we have a humble and a gracious heart, the tremendous benefit that we gain from that is that it gives us a humble heart. And God loves the humble. And how much humility is a great aspect that we can have in our lives if we are thankful and gracious to God. Number two, a thankful person is a grateful person, one who continually thinks about God and others to whom he is truly thankful and grateful. Number three, a thankful person is a happy person. And happy people are people that you want to be around. Happiness is a contagious quality. A vain person who thinks only of himself and what he accomplishes does not have very many friends. And you think of the people with the most friends and the people who people want to be around, and they will be a happy, thankful person. And when we build thanksgiving into our lives, we become people who are grateful and thankful and happy. And we become people who other people want to be around and associated with. Now, I have a book here, and I got special permission to use this book. This book is not on the bestseller lists. It's not one of the best-selling books. It hasn't been produced in millions of copies. It's a book that I've read, and every time I'm down and thinking about myself and my own interest, I think about this book. And its authors is not well known. I got special permission to share this book with you, and I would like to share it with you. It's called Jacob is Happy, and I've read this book a number of times, and it's moved me every time. Here's the story. It's the only copy in print. There's no other copy, and I had to borrow it and give it back. Jacob is happy. My school bus picks me up at home. When I get home, I get off the bus happy. I am nice to my band. My mom and I pick up Madison. I am happy. I love my band. and my sister. When I see our bush, I am happy. The bush makes my house look nice. Here's the one that really got me when I read it. I like to play in the basement. When I see the pole, I am happy. Pole holds up my house. Boy, that really struck me. When have I ever thanked God for the pole that holds up my house? I don't know about you, but I've never done that. And yet my pole has held up my house where I've raised three kids. I've been in my house since 1982. And those poles have continually held up the house. And I sleep on the upstairs floor that I would be sleeping in the basement if I was alive without those poles. My pole holds up my house, and I'm happy. And my house was built in 1964. And before that time, a pediatrician and his wife lived in that, and they raised seven kids in that house. Seven kids. And it held those up all those years. And most of us, when we look at poles in our basement, they're in the way, aren't they? We complain, oh, if it was just covered up or somewhere else, I don't have to look at that stupid pole. And we box them in and we hide them. But when was it that we ever thanked God for the poles that hold up our heads, our house? But Jacob is thankful for that. I love my house, family, and van. I also love Bumpa. Bumpa is Jacob's grandfather. When I am happy, my family is happy. Happiness, we said, is contagious. Is happiness contagious? Just ask Bumpa how contagious happiness is. And when we have a thankful heart, we have a happy heart, we have a joyful heart, we have a heart and we are a person who everyone wants to be around because of our thankful spirit that lives within us. Jacob's Moore's book on being happy would flunk any writing contest ever devised. It doesn't have the things that books have. No table of contents. No foreword in it. No acknowledgments in it. But it's a book that speaks volumes, and it would never, ever win any writing contests that man could ever devise, except the one that matters the most. Nancy and I sometimes say to one another, and I'm certainly not a cook. I've mastered over the years. I've mastered how to toast bread, and that's my cooking experience. And Nancy will sometimes say to me, she'll say, we'll have a good meal and sit down and make just the wonderful stuff that I like. And she'll say to me, are you happy now, Reed? Now, I don't know where she gets the Reed part of it. Are you happy, Reed? And I say, yes, I'm happy. And she says, good, because if you're happy, I'm happy. And so a thankful person is a person who people want to be around, and happiness and thanksgiving is contagious. A thankful person, number four, finds true fulfillment in life by serving the Lord and serving others, not as a result of duty, but as a result of thanksgiving and gratitude of his heart. Number five, a thankful person is a contented person, which the Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:6, godliness with contentment is great gain. And so when we are thankful, we're satisfied and contented in life. And God says that's great gain. The beginning of that verse says physical exercise is profitable for a little time. And we drive up and down our streets and we see fitness places and we see places where people work out and they're filled with people who are getting in shape and running and on treadmills. And God says that's profitable, but it's only profitable in this life for a little time. And pretty soon we get old and stiff and can no longer do those things. And it's profitable for a little time, but God says that contentment is great gain because it lasts forever. Number six, in being thankful, we acknowledge the truth about God and the truth about ourselves. And therefore, we are set free. Because Jesus said these words in John 8 and 32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Truth always, always, always sets us free. And lies and deception and crookedness always, always, always enslaves us. And so when we acknowledge God for who he is, God says that we become free. "If the Son," said Jesus, "shall set you free, ye shall be free indeed." Number seven, thankfulness produces the fruits of the Spirit. And just as we saw in Romans chapter 1, where the lack of thankfulness begins our spiritual decline and our spiritual turning our back on God and walking away from God, the lack of thankfulness does that. But thankfulness in this case to God produces the fruit of the Spirit. You see, it's if you're a thankful and gracious person, the fruits of the Spirit are these: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. They're listed in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And when we have a spirit of thankfulness, these things produce in us. You know, it would be pretty difficult to really be thankful to a person and not have patience and joy and kindness. I'm thankful for all that you guys have done for me, but I really don't like any of you. Does that go together? I really can't stand you, but boy, am I thankful for what you did for me. I mean, it doesn't go together, does it? And so a thankful, gracious spirit begins to produce in our lives these wonderful qualities of love and of peace and of joy and of kindness and goodness. Number eight, when a person lives a life of thankfulness, he or she is better able to handle tragedy, failure, and difficulties that come their way. And they come to each of us, some more than others. But life can be very tragic at times. Life can be very uncertain at times. Life can be very difficult at times. But when we have a life of thankfulness, we are able to handle tragedy, failure, and difficulties that come our way because we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are thankful to God. Romans 8 and 28. Wonderful thing to be thankful to God and to know that He is in control of all these things. And there's many, many difficult things in life which we just simply don't have answers to. But we can trust in a God who loves us and cares for us and is concerned about us the way that the Lord is. And it makes our life much more livable and when we can trust in God. Number 10, when we are a thankful person, we become givers rather than takers. The world is full of takers, isn't it? It's full of takers. People take, 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 take. They want and they use us to their own end. And in the corporate world and in the business world, that's true. We want to get ahead. And so we take and we take and we take. The world is full of takers. But Jesus said this: it's more blessed to give than to receive. Generally speaking, it's not the richest, the wisest, or the most successful people in the world that are the most thankful. I remember when I was a kid and I used to look at people who were so-called successful in life. And they seemed to have all the money they could want. I mean, we go to the store and we have to look at prices and we have to be concerned that our budgets are met. But these people just, they have all the money they could spend. And they live in beautiful, beautiful places and they have money and popularity and people want to interview them and find out why they were successful. And you would think, I used to think as I was young, wow, these people should be walking about with smiles on their faces, shouldn't they? They should be laughing and happy and joyful all the time. But as I got older, I found out that some of the richest and wealthiest and people who so-called have it all together are the most miserable people on the planet of the earth. So happiness does not come with wealth and success and being smart. Happiness and thankfulness comes from the heart. It is because people are that way because they are dependent on themselves and what they can accomplish instead of being thankful for what they have received. And in contrast to that, I've known people who have had very, very little, hardly anything in this life, and they're thankful, joyous people. I had a Sunday school teacher once who was my Sunday school teacher for many years, and he and his wife, they were... They were kind of well off and lived a nice life together, he and his wife. They had one son who was an airline pilot to this day for United Airlines, flying out of Chicago. And Matt ended up with diabetes, and he lost one leg, and then he lost another. And he ended up in a home, and he was there for about 7 years. His wife also had a stroke, and she lay in the bed beside him in nursing home. And Matt and Nancy were great, great friends of mine. And I used to visit them, and I took them. I don't know if I told this story before, but I took them. Matt loved Dunkin' Donuts coffee. And I took him a Dunkin' Donuts coffee and a donut. And man, was he thankful. It was just the greatest thing. And I often thought to myself, Matt, it's just a cup of coffee and a donut. Oh, is this good? He asked me one time, do you think Dunkin' Donuts will be in heaven? I said, Matt, for your sake, they'll have a franchise there. So grateful. Having very little, four walls and two beds, and yet so grateful. Thankfulness becomes a great motivator in our lives. We are thankful for all that we have received. Therefore, in appreciation, we give not as a motive to get, but as a motive of what we have already been given. That's a thankful spirit. You know, we live in a competitive day and age, and we're motivated by success, and we're motivated by money, and we're motivated to do things. But in thankfulness, we're motivated to give, not because we want to get something, but because we have already received it. Now this morning, two times already, people have stolen part of my message. And the message was about 10 lepers. And if you were at the meeting earlier and heard the 10 lepers that Jesus met and healed. And only one came back and said thank you out of 10. Only one. And he wasn't even a part of the Israeli group. He was an outsider. And on his way to being healed, he saw that he was healed, and he turned around and he came back and he thanked Jesus. And Jesus' question was, were there not 9? Were there not 10 that were cleansed? But where are the 9? I wonder which group we fall into. Are we in that group of 9 which just takes off and forgets to say thank you? Or are we in that group of 1 that comes back and thanks God for all his gifts and his graciousness to us? Proverbs 17:22, Solomon reminds us that a joyful heart, joy produced by being thankful, is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up or rots the bone. Being thankful puts us into submission to the one whom we give thanks to, doesn't it? And the life of Jesus was lived in thanksgiving to his Father. At the graveside of Lazarus, he said, I thank you, God, that you hear me. And all through Jesus' life, he was thankful to God, his Father. And in being thankful to God, his Father, he was able to put his life in complete submission to his Father's will. I want to close with this story. I had 2 weeks vacation coming. I thought I'd spend it in Florida with some old friends, party, and date a few girls. I called Mom in Chapel Hill, Tennessee. She asked, are you coming by? No, too busy a schedule. wouldn't have time. I'll be there in a week or two. Going through Georgia, I remembered it was Mom's birthday. I stopped at a flower shop to wire my mom some flowers. A little boy was leaving. He was very sad. "What's wrong, son?" I asked. "I wanted to buy my mom some flowers. I haven't seen her in a year. I live with my grandma now. Today is Mother's birthday, and I promised her some roses. All I have is one dime. I wanted to buy her five roses because that's how old I am, and roses are her favorite flower." My heart was touched. "Charge them to me," I told the lady. I wired a dozen roses to my mother in Chapel Hill, Tennessee. I turned around, and the boy was gone. The boy rushed back in and said, "Thank you, mister." I got into my car and was driving on to Florida. I saw the little boy again. He was by a grave in a cemetery. I stopped. The little boy said, "This is where my mom stays now. She has been here for over a year now. I talk to her all the time. She says, 'Thank you for the flowers.'" I had to leave. I went back to the flower shop and asked, "Have you sent the dozen roses yet?" The lady replied, "Never mind. I'll take them back with me." Shall we close in prayer? Our Father, we are just overwhelmed with your love to us. And we're overwhelmed with all that you've done on our behalf. And there's not words in the English language to sufficiently express our love and appreciation to you. And we thank you, Lord, that we can offer our prayers of gratitude and thanksgiving unto you, and that God, the Father, accepts them. And he takes the words and the stammering phrases and the misconstrued language that we use and somehow translates them into words that are meaningful to you and meaningful to us as well. And as we give thanks to you, we are indeed blessed in so many ways that we are the great beneficiaries of our thanks and giving and praise to you, that our lives are changed, that we become happy and contented and joyful people because of what you have done for us. And we're so thankful, Lord, that our salvation depends not on our own accomplishments, but on what you have accomplished for us. And we are eternally grateful. And so we pray that we may be people that are characterized by thanksgiving, that we may be people that are joyful people and happy people and contented people and loving people and kind people, because it's a response to our thanksgiving to you for all that you have done for us. We pray your blessing on these thoughts, we pray, and may they penetrate into our innermost being. And may we be like Jacob, who is grateful and thankful for all things, even the beams that hold up our house. We give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.